You can pretend that you love me with all your heart and you trust me.
All right. Pretend that.
I'd like for you to be willing to hear the Course in Miracles today, knowing that you don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of it's going to be hard to believe. Some of it's going to starve you. But if you use it, you'll see that it works. You're not really being asked to judge at all. And I'm going to kind of get ready for the section I'm going to go into. I'm going to do lesson 71, kind of like the warm up. How many of you believe in the idea of God or a higher power? What are you worried about? That's a cool question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody believes in a higher power, but we all know we have some things that we're afraid about it and worried about.
You didn't ask if I trusted the higher power.
I hear you. And the other thing I want to ask you, those of you who read the Course in Miracles textbook from beginning to end, raise your hand. You can look around. Not a lot of us, right? Okay. The point that I'm saying, the reason why I'm asking is sort of give me some idea of where everybody is relative to the Course. I've studied the Course for my 27th year this year. They teach me 25, doing an average of 3 to 5 classes a week, several workshops a year. I record my lesson every day. I listen to it all day when I'm working on my iPod, and then I listen to it all night long, and then I put the next lesson the next day, and then I hang out with people that talk the Course in Miracles. And so it's a possibility for those of you who haven't read it yet, or for those who haven't read it a lot, that I might know a little bit about more about the Course, and so I can save you some time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So my purpose is to save time, and so I'm going to move a little bit faster than you're usually accustomed to me moving, so that we can see what are the main points that the Spirit is trying to get to us today. Because the theory is, if there is a higher power, then there's something blocking our communication with it if we think we are afraid and we don't know what to do. So the problem is really a communication problem. The answer to the problem that you think you have right now, the answer to the problem is a communication problem, because if you were in communication with your higher power, you'd have an answer. You have a solution and it would be solved. So the problem is never what we think it is. The problem is a communication problem, because without the communication problem, you know what to do. Because the higher power knows. So the Course says the higher power is love. And that real love never ends, has no gaps in it, has no fear in it, has no depression in it, has no jealousy in it, has no sickness in it, has no attack in it. True love never changes, and true love is something that everybody receives equally. And that's what created us. So the next premise is, we must also be that loving thing that we came from. So, but we don't know it, right?
Right.
Well, we wouldn't be upset about stuff. Right. So the problem is, again, a what? Communication problem. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Okay, then the Course says, well, if the part of you that knows the answer is the God part of you, and it knows really how to create our joy and create our happiness and create our peace. Let me cut this off for a minute so I can get a little bit louder. Then the part of you that loves you and knows you and has all awareness, it would have a plan for your happiness that the part of you that's confused doesn't have. Because if you weren't aware, you wouldn't be confused.
Right.
So the Course's premise is, you do have a part of yourself that's aware, and you do have a part of yourself that knows, and that's the part we call the God self. And it has a plan. The happy you has a plan for happiness that'll work. Because the sad you, obviously, this plan for happiness doesn't work.
Right.
If your plan and my plan worked, and we're upset about something, then we'd be happy. So, will we be willing to admit, so far, our plan hasn't worked?
Yeah.
It's more consistent happiness. I'm not talking about that happiness that happened because you wanted to lose 5 pounds and you did. I'm not talking about the happiness that comes from going to a movie that you like. I'm not talking about the happiness you come because it looks like everybody did what you wanted them to do today, so you said it was a good day. That's not real happiness. Real happiness cannot be affected by anything that happens to the human mind or body. Real happiness is so powerful that nothing can ever cause you to lose it. So the Course says, well, happiness has a plan, and only happiness plan works. Now, then it's going to tell us what the happiness plan is. Ready? Okay, that's lesson 71. I'm setting it up because I can move faster with the Course if I take a few minutes now to set it up. So I'm going to read it. Where it says the ego, I'm going to say, you. And when I say you, I'm in the you, okay? I'm in the you, okay? But the reason why I would say it that way is I've learned all these years that there's a way I can read the Course to people that I don't do it because I don't think they trust me enough sometimes to believe that what I'm saying on the page is a Course in Miracles definition, even though it doesn't look like what they're looking at. You see what I'm saying? It's like the answers. Only God's plan for salvation will work. If I would say it to you the way I wanted to say it, I would say it. Only love's plan for your healing will work. Only God's plan for your healing will work. Okay, so let's make premise number one. What's premise number one? God's plan works only. Only. The plan of what created us, its plan for our happiness is the only one that works. Then it says, you might not realize that you set up a plan for your happiness that's in direct opposition to God. You might not realize that you have set up a plan for your healing that's in direct opposition to love. He says, so first of all, let's give ourselves a break because we may not realize what we're doing. Then it says, now, it's this plan that you believe in. You really believe in a plan that's the opposite to your happiness. That's why you're experiencing so much unhappiness, because you're living according to a plan opposite to your happiness. That's why you experience unhappiness. That could be positive the whole hour. And the person could say, well, you know, I don't have anything that I'm unhappy about. I'm happy about everything. Well, you know, denial is not a river in Egypt. I'm glad. If you're happy, your job is to be here and rejoice with us. If you're happy, then your job is to be happy for us and want us to have happiness. That's the job of the people who feel like they have no problems. Okay? And then Core says, well, let's get rid of it. Some of y'all have tried stuff all over and over again. It hasn't worked. You've had enough and you've reached your limit. They're called Core students. This because, I'm going to tell you the truth. I made up a plan that I believe in that's the opposite of what would really make me happy. Now, since it's the opposite of the gods, then I believe if I do God's plan, I'm going to be damned. See, now I made up my own plan, so when the truth tells me what it would take for me to be happy, I feel like it's asking for a sacrifice, and I'm kind of afraid of what the truth is going to ask me to do, or God is going to ask me to do. Because my plan is the opposite, so I think that God's plan is going to require me to do something I don't want to do, because I'm working my plan. Yeah. I don't feel like God ain't got time to work your plan. I'm working my plan. Now, my plan hasn't worked, but that's a little technicality. Then it says, this sounds prosperous, that you believe that if you accepted God's plan, you would be really screwed up. You say, you really don't believe that. It says, but after we've considered just what your plan is, he says, perhaps you'll realize that however preposterous the plan might be, you believe in it. So this book is telling me I believe in a preposterous plan. So I believe in a plan that's just ridiculous. Okay, let's get that clear. Only God's work plan will work, and I believe in a plan that's ridiculous. Then it goes on to say, let me share with you what your preposterous, ridiculous plan is for your happiness. Just in case you're wondering, what is the plan? What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? Okay, here it goes. And you ask yourself if you don't do this. The wrong mind's plan, of course, calls the ego the wrong mind. The wrong mind's plan for happiness and peace centers around holding grievances.
Got that down.
Our plan is centered around holding grievances. I'm going to make myself happy through holding a grievance. I'm going to feel better by holding a grievance. Okay, he says that. Now, the Course is talking about perceptual, mental, psychological content. The Course in Miracles is talking about the mind and perception. That's the only thing it's talking about. So when you come to a Course class, you always think of talking about new ways to see things, new ways to look at things in your mind. This class is not about physical manifestation. It's about peace of mind that allows you to hear your own guidance. Let's get clear about what this class is about. It's about hearing your guidance, not about manifesting. So he's telling us, well, this is what's blocking your peace. What's blocking your peace is that you believe in a plan that you've set up that's in opposition to your happiness. And the plan centers around holding grievances. And then the Course goes, well, what does that mean? Let's get clear on this holding a grievance thing, right? He says, well, holding a grievance maintains that if someone else spoke or acted differently, if some external circumstance or event were changed, I'd be saved. Mm-hmm. So here's my plan. I go around all day holding grievances. I'm saying, if someone else spoke or acted differently, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. If some external circumstance would change, I would be happy. If some event were changed, I would be happy. So I'll just break it down a little bit more. You know what the plan is? The plan is in the next sentence. The plan is the source of our salvation or happiness is constantly perceived as outside yourself. The plan is not talking about your plan to be president of a company or to own your own business. The plan is believing that my happiness comes outside of myself, and so everything I do is based on the premise that my happiness comes outside myself.
Yep.
I've been trying to experiment that I really want to share with you. I've been trying to experiment of anything I wanted to happen on the outside, I would change it internally and look within and see it within myself first and ask for it within myself first and acknowledge it in myself first and then see if it would happen in the outer. It's been incredible. It's been incredible. It's been better than I ever imagined. It's been better than I've ever imagined. It's like, okay. Every time I'm upset with somebody, first thing I try to remember to do is to shut up. The very first goal that I aim at is keep your mouth shut, Earl. And the more you feel like attacking, the more you breathe and shut up. That's the other rule. And the most miraculous thing has been happening. Whatever it was I thought I could resolve by attacking, I would watch it get resolved by me being quiet and therefore not saying something that I regret that I said and later on be apologizing about, which is what usually happens when I attack. I always say stuff I wish I hadn't. Most cases. I don't know about y'all, I'm just sharing me. Because I'm gonna make me an open book so that I can expose all parts of myself to the light so it can be dispelled. And that's what I'm doing. I'm sharing more of my own process as a way to see you, help you see yours. Because we're the same. So I'm working on the same thing you're working on. You know, I just been working on it longer. I've been able to hold on to my grievances for 26 years. I know all about grievances. So listen to me. Okay? Here's the grievance. The grievance is, I love this. He says the source of your salvation is constantly. Didn't he say constantly? He said constantly perceived as outside yourself. I see my peace and love is constantly. I see it as outside myself. That's my plan. Anybody else got a plan?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. Come on, that's up. Do you have a plan? Right now, those fuckers who just changed would be happy, wouldn't you? Yeah, man, I know what you're talking about. Low down. Your whole purpose on life is to serve me. You forgot your function, woman. To make me happy. I don't know what makes me happy, but keep trying. Sooner or later, something bound to affect me. So I don't know what you do. Just do it. You just dance around. What about this, baby? This is going to be all right today. And then, you know, then the next day you come up with something. This is going to help today, baby.
we like these puppets in a puppet show. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey. Why? Because you're in a relationship with a person who believes that their happiness lies in something outside of themselves. So they never look to themselves to feel good. They look to you. And then which wouldn't be so bad except they tell you how to make them feel good. You want to make them feel good your way. What's natural for you? That'll be easy. You see what I mean? Whew. Try not to hang out with people who don't love you for what you are, because you'll be working so hard to stay with them. People who don't love you for what you are, you got to work to stay with them. And the lazier you get, the more you obey truth principles. The lazier you get, the more you obey truth principles. Because you don't want to work as hard as you do as the people who don't obey them. Those are the ones doing work they don't like every day, struggling to meet their bills, scared to get into a relationship. You know what I'm saying? It's like, those people haven't made the decision yet to let go of the wrong plan. So you know what they're going to do with you? They're going to do with you what they do with everybody else. Attack, reject, and blame. Broken into by periods where they stroke your head or something. Yeah, broken into by periods in which they seem to watch TV together or something, you know, or go out walking or whatever. It's just what they do between arguments. Wow. So the course is saying, If you are holding a grievance, it doesn't mean I'm holding a grievance because, you know, you didn't come home last night. He's saying a grievance is just a declaration. It's an assertion in which you believe that says, if this were different, I would be saved. That's a grievance. I never thought of a grievance that way until I read The Course in Miracles. He says a grievance isn't, you know, what your daddy did. A grievance is your assertion if this were different, I'd be saved. Let's breathe with that for a minute. Remember, you don't have to believe these ideas. I love this line. You see the humor of the course in this line. Those of you who got the books, and those who don't, just check it out. It says, the change of mind necessary for salvation. That means the change of mind necessary for your peace. The change of mind that's necessary for your peace is thus demanded of everyone and everything except yourself. So let's get that straight. Okay. If you're holding a grievance, you're saying everyone's mind needs to change but mine. Everyone needs to change but me. Everyone needs to change but me. That's the wrong plan. No, I think you have to. I can protect and blame and lose myself and get mad and be a raging maniac back in the days before I started studying The Course in Miracles. I could hold a grievance for a week. If I got mad at my wife,
only a week?
I'm here, but this is how good I could be. If I got mad at my wife, I could not speak to her for a week and be in the same house and not say a word.
Wow.
That was fun.
But the sex was so good she couldn't leave me.
You had no relationship. I hope. I hope you have a, you know, my sympathy go out to you. You know, I had physical pleasures that felt so good, the truth was wouldn't wait. It could just wait. It's eternal. It'll be there when I get ready for it. But this illusion, this fantasy, I gotta have it right now. Why? Because I know it's not gonna last. That's why I gotta do it now. I know the fantasy not gonna last, so I better hurry up and do it as quick as I possibly can. Truth is eternal. It'll be there when I get through hurting. So there's no pressure on you all to move any faster than you want to move. The truth is eternal. It'll be waiting for you whenever you decide to apply it to your life. In the meantime, you can continue to give yourself opportunities to remember the truth, which is the only thing you're doing. If you're not practicing the truth, you're just giving yourself another opportunity to remember the truth. Now, what I'm saying to you comes from 26 years of a session with the Course. So what's happened is the Course has been integrated inside of me into a conversation. That's what's happening right now. You know, which when you read it, you go, damn, that's a, he wasn't so smart. That's what the book said. I can tell people study because that's what they lose respect for. The Holy Spirit is very subtle with me. My Holy Spirit said to me, laugh or die. That was the choice. He said, laugh or die. You can start laughing or you can die. You're going to do one or the other. You know. And then the Holy Spirit started showing me all the funny, crazy things that my life has become. So I said, laugh. You know, like, wow. I did that? Yeah. You know, but not from a condemnation standpoint, but it's just like, I'm laughing, you know. For you to even think you could be bad is a joke. For you to even think you could be sinful or guilty is a joke. For you to even think you could be separate and unloved by God, it's a joke. You're the number one hit in the God TV grab. The people on the invisible side, you and I are their greatest entertainment. We heal them by the laughter that they have as a result of watching us live. It's hilarious. You know some of your friends do some crazy stuff sometimes. You just really want to laugh, but you can't. You talk to me, tell me. Yes, I understand. Share. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. So the Course says that when you're holding the grievance, the change of mind is necessary, is demanded of everybody but who?
Me.
Me. So if you really want to have fun with this, you would go, I'm holding the grievance, I'm demanding that this person change except me. I'm demanding that this person change and I don't. I'm mad. I'm demanding that this person change but I don't. I'm mad. It's another language.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, like I said, I will not speak for a week. So the point that I was making about that was I was waiting for her to make whatever change that she needed to make in order for me to forgive her. So I was saying she needed to change and I didn't. And when she changed, then I'd be happy and I could give her the reward of my dysfunctional love. She could get more of my dysfunctional love. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? I don't want to love anybody, but I do a lousy job of it, and I'm really scared to care about anybody. But when I get in a relationship, I think that kind of love is the greatest gift that I could give them. And people are competing for it. I got several folks calling me up here. I was like, women introduce themselves to me. I said, I love you too much to give you my phone number. Why? Because I love you. You don't want to be in a special relationship with me. I'm demanding. I believe. I have a dream that everybody will serve me and do what I want them to do and act the way that I want them to act so that I will be happy. I have a dream that something outside of myself is going to change my whole life without me getting involved. I have a dream that I'm going to be a sad, sour, puss-looking joker and everybody's going to want to take me out to lunch. I have a dream that I can stay the same way I am without incurring the suffering that it entails. I have a dream. That's my grievance. So once I started to wake up to who I really was and realized how unconditioned and loving that person had been to even put up with my stuff, I always end up asking for forgiveness for the person I was holding the grievance against. Because the only reason why I was holding the grievance against them was because they were special to me. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be treating you like crap. Because I care about you, but you can't go nowhere. Because I love you. And that's why I tell people, don't love me. And so far, I've been doing pretty good. That's only about 5 or 10 people that think they love me still. Yeah, I don't see the joke. All right. Okay, now, notice we all are having a common experience. Even though we all look different, everybody's relating to what I'm saying because the truth is we're the same, looking like we're different. Right. And a conscious being isn't fooled by the illusion of differences. And an unconscious being, that's all they see is the difference.
Mm-hmm. You black man. You white lady.
You know, that differences. You over there, I'm over here. The more unconscious you are, the more you think in terms of separation and fear. Mm-hmm. So let's make it even more fun, shall we?
Yeah.
The role assigned to your own mind in this plan. You know, the role assigned to your own mind in this plan. I'm going to assign a role to my mind. All right, what role should my mind play? I've already come to the conclusion that everybody else needed to change except me. So what should I do? I've already come up with my plan. Everybody and everything outside of myself needs to change for me to feel good. So that's my plan. That's what y'all's role is, to change. I'm clear now. Now, what do I do? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, it tells you what you tell yourself in the wrong plan. Well, what I want you to do all day is I want you to simply determine what other than yourself must change if you are to be happy. So use the whole day figuring out what's different about your, what's wrong with your life if you want to change. That's your role. Your role is to go through the whole day going,
I don't like this, I don't like that. I wish this was different, and I wish that was different, and I wish they were different, and I wish it was different, and I wish...
Now, what does it need to be different? Now, well, yesterday I needed to have, you know, 5 more pounds. Today I need some shoes in order to be happy. What else do you need? Let me see. Well, I was in a city that wasn't so cold, I could feel. Okay, if it wasn't so, you know, like all day long I'm thinking of what I need to come up with in order for me to be happy. That's the role that I've assigned to my mind, to constantly show me my dissatisfactions that need to be changed in my life. Right, that's my role. Your role is to act differently so I can be happy. So I got it all figured out. I got to change everybody that exists and spend all day long thinking about what's wrong with my life. Oh, that sounds like fun. That sounds so easy. I wake up in the morning, dream, what is it? Another day that I want everybody to change for me to be happy. And all day long, I'm going to figure out what needs to be changed for me to be happy. That's my job. How many of y'all, those of you who are doing this plan, would you please raise your hand? Okay, look around you. They always get, because when you see that there are other people that's as messed up as you are, you don't feel so bad. Y'all notice that? No matter what you're going through, if you think somebody else is going through it with you, you kind of feel a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm making that mistake, and I'm not the only one making that mistake. Well, I might not be okay. So all of us making that mistake. People say the Course in Miracles is difficult. Is it difficult?
No.
No.
It was easy to do that.
It's no, because you're listening to the Course from someone who loves it. You have somebody that's teaching you from love.
Yeah.
You know, I love what I do. I'm not up here for any other reason other than I love what I do and I have to pay my rent. It's the first of the month. April 1st.
When I go to my landlord, he don't say give me a hug.
I tried, no thing happens, he got a restraining order. So now I gotta dodge the police and try to pay my rent. It's a cold world. It's a cold world, isn't it? Okay. I'm always good when I'm being myself.
Yeah.
People always respond to me with love when I'm being my natural, joyous self.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not doing it in an extroverted fashion. You know, my happiness on the inside has just as much effect on people as when I'm... Mm-hmm. I'm watching it. I'm watching it happen all around me.
Yeah.
You know. If I told you the things that be happening in my life when you don't see me, you wouldn't even believe it.
Okay.
And so I can keep enjoying it in peace, I'm going to keep it that way. Never forget that at the level of the world, there's nothing better than the ultimate freedom of being unknown. What's the little tulip that gets plucked and dies in a vase in somebody's apartment?
The prettiest.
you go. That's the most special tulip. When they look at all the 10 million tulips, they look for the one that's the most special. And then they pluck it. And it's just special for a minute. They go, here, dear. Here's the tulip. She was, and she's going, thank you, dear, with my damn watch. Time to make jokes. Sometimes it's days before people get
So the little tulip joke, you said, oh, great, beautiful tulip. Then you set that joke in the vase. The tulip died. Now, that tulip is gone, right? Mm-hmm. What's happening with the tulips in the field? And which one lives the longest? The ugly tulip. That's the one that had the longest life. The ugly tulip. So if you think you're ugly, then you the ugly tulip. And all the crazy people gonna pick everybody else before they pick you. All the people who don't know how to love gonna pick you last. That's a gift. You're in a world where people don't know how to love unconditionally. It's no great gift to get a lot of won't you?
You mean, let me get this straight. People who believe the old plan, I want a whole lot of them to want me. Yeah. I want to have a lot of women who said, Earl, you were different than I'd be happy. If you change just for me, I'd be happy. And if you don't change for me, Earl, you're selfish. Fortunately, I'm not handsome enough to attract that million women. And the older I get, the less threatened I become. So, Emerson, I had a person that I told them what they did, a beautiful young lady, and I told them what I did, and she just broke out in tears and fell down on her knees, and then she jumped back up and she grabbed me and she said, I know you, I've been waiting for you. She said, you don't even have to talk to me. I know who you are. You're my teacher. Damn, I just want to do the funky chicken. I knew I was going to get this deep. But that's what I was blown away, because I felt the same thing. And we just grabbed each other, and then she just hugged me. And she just hugged me, and she curled up in my arms. And I'm like, and she said, I feel safe with you. Yeah. And I'm going,
hey, what's your name?
Well, actually, she asked me.
How do you get in contact with me? Make sure that,
because she recognized that she said she had asked for the truth to come to her, and she felt like that, so she's working on other things, taking responsibility, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it was another level that she wanted to go to, and she had asked Spirit for that this morning, and when she met me, she totally got that I was that person. Instantly. Do you know there are people who've been coming to me for months and don't trust me that much? Mm-hmm. Still, I'm suspicious. What is he trying to do? What does he want? What's the chick that I remember in Earl, the same one that used to hold the grievance for a week? It would have been all over her because she was so fine. I'll be your teacher, honey. You will be taught.
What did this Earl do?
This Earl really realized the beauty and the sacredness and the holiness of that connection. And the last thing he would have wanted to do is to do anything that would make her feel unsafe. It was, I'm nicer than I intend to be. I've been tricked. And the cut that then they kicked it all off. I was totally sincere.
And then when I had those kind of experiences, she ended it the way that some people end it, because they don't expect me to go into the moment with them.
You know, it's like people, you know, think about it. Everybody thinks about something. Like when she hugged me, for me to go and just be there with her 100%.
You know, and when you have experiences like that, and you could be having more and more experiences like that, the appeal of those relationships based on bargains made with guilt and me changing, you changing, and your script not being acted out, my script not be fussing, we fighting, the attraction of those kind of relationships just begin to drop off. Your peace is just too important to you to constantly give it up for this kind of stuff that we give it up for. But it's the best way to learn. The best way to learn is through having something so wonderful that you won't settle for anything less. What would be a better plan? That's God's plan. That you drop all your temptations because what you are having is so satisfied, you wouldn't even do that old stuff you used to do to hurt or confuse yourself. That's the plan. Yeah, that's the plan. So I'm going to finish this thing off and keep going. Now, what?
You say what?
That happened several times in one form or another. And it was so inspirational and it was so loving and I felt so good and I felt so recognized and I felt so appreciated and I was just so overflowing with love. And then I shared more love with everybody else, because when once you really are full, you got to share it. You don't have no choice. I don't have any choice. So when I think about how I've used relationships as the chief weapon to keep me from my happiness, when I think about how much time I spent doing the grievance game where I was trying to make somebody else change and they were trying to change me and that was what our whole relationship was about, I just have to forgive myself. That's the only thing I can do with it, because nobody was putting me through that but me. The Course has a beautiful way that it says you handle misery. You know, he says you recognize the misery and go the other way. Everybody got that? You recognize the misery. Like, you know, you get ready to go down the same old thing you've been down 900 times before. The only thing that's changed is the body and the clothes. But y'all doing the same dance. You're not happy, they're not happy. You have a need that's not being met, they have a need that's not being met. Your need meets their need, and they go out. Mm-hmm. And they tweak you all the time. I love you, but if you could just tweak a little bit more, you can be perfect for me. Because my plan is to figure out what needs to be tweaked in you. Okay, so everybody, I think I pretty much made this point, right?
Yeah.
Everybody got it? Everybody still recognize they're working the plan. Now, where you are, the area of your life that you're most dissatisfied in, that's the area of your life that you're working your plan the most. If your money situation isn't really thrilling you, that's where you're working the plan. Or if money, check this out, if money changed outside of me, I would be happy. See, that's the plan. If I had $100,000 more dollars a year, then everything would be cool. Well, that's the plan. If something outside of myself changed, I'd be happy.
That's the plan. All right. Now, this course, it's going to give you God's plan. First, the course always does that. It'll show you clearly what you're doing to hurt yourself, and it's the hardest part to study, because you just hurt sometimes to see how crazy you are. And then it shows you didn't do anything, you can be totally wiped out, and this is the way we do it. It always do that, but sometimes I don't see the answer because I'm too hung up on the problem. I'm getting every ounce of juice I can get out of the problem. I get to the answer later. Right now, I'm just at stage three of my 5-stage suffering. So I'm going to be miserable for 4 years. And then at the end of 4 years, I'll make a miraculous realization that it's okay for me to be happy again. And for this 4 interim years, whatever anybody tries to tell me to help me not be unhappy, I will not hear, or I'll distort, or I'll use incorrectly. That's the plan.
Would y'all breathe with me?
Just again. And the Course in Miracles talks about us in sentence 2, paragraph 3. It says, according to this insane plan, any perceived source of salvation is acceptable provided it won't work. I will always see my happiness in a person who won't love me. See, that's the plan. That's the insane plan. I'm going to get the person that don't love me to love me. Got the insane plan?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the thing. I'm going to choose. The only rule for me choosing something that I want is that whatever I choose won't work out and it won't satisfy me. That's my one rule. Say, you told me, don't come nowhere with me. You were suddenly to call the police. Then I still want your phone number because you was a challenge. You know what I'm saying? And so what did I do? I immediately looked for my happiness outside myself in a place that didn't even want to give it to me. He said, that's our plan. I'm attracted to the person that doesn't want me. I'm not attracted to the person that wants me. I'm attracted to the person that doesn't treat me right. I don't really get a lot of juice from the person that treats me right. I don't even have no kind of charge. Got it? Mm-hmm. Because the rule of the insane mind is, I know what, I'm with you, and I'm right here right now with you, but I'll be thinking about what I'm going to do later and not let myself have the joy that I can have right now. The insane plan is my happiness is always somewhere other than where I'm located. Mm-hmm. That's the insane. My happiness is always anywhere I'm not. Now, isn't that stupid? Think about how stupid that is. Mm-hmm. I want my happiness to be wherever I am not. And it looks like it. It looks like everybody else happy. But it's what you ask for. You ask for your happiness to be where it's not. Why? Because you keep seeking for it where it's not located. Where is it not located? Outside of myself and somebody else's change. So as long as I'm working that plan, it'll always look like somebody else has it better than me because I am not taking any responsibility for my happiness. So, he says, in case you didn't get that, Earl, let me explain your fruitless search. As long as I keep looking for something outside of myself and saying that's going to make me happy, then, he says, I'll have a fruitless search that will continue. Because I'll have the illusion that, although this hope has always failed, there is still grounds for hope in other places. There are still grounds for hope in other things. Another person will yet, I like this line, another person will yet serve better. Isn't that great? Last one dropped the dishes. Only one who can do better this time. So when I want a new woman, or I want a new man, I'm really saying, I want somebody else who can serve better. Do what I want them to do better. Act like I want them to act better than the last one. They get a C+.
Please.
Don't feel guilty about this, because there's no need to feel guilty about something that everybody that's miserable doing. And the people who need to say, the people who need to learn the same lessons have relationships. We're here because we need to learn the same lesson. That's why we're here. You're with that person that you're with because you're really just like them. And if you were someone that you're not glad to hear you just like, that's a red flag right there. You know, I just like what you're doing. No, I'm not, man. See, that's a red flag right there, isn't it? You should be going, oh, you mean I like Boogie Boo? You mean I just like her? Oh, God. That's what, if you were with the right person, you'd be, oh, I'm like that goddess, that beautiful being. Oh, we are. But you tell a bunch of people, you just like the person you're with. That's us. It wasn't a big thrilling applause about that statement when I said it. So why am I with that person, they asked? Because you work in the plan. Because you work in the plan. You work in the plan. You work in the plan. That's why you work. You work in the plan. Do they make you happy? No. But that's the plan. I'm always the amaze anybody comes to my class. That's why it's called A Course in Miracles.
Don't you even show up.
I bet you leave and go, why did I go there?
I felt better before I came in here. I spent all good in projection and blame. And I thought you was going to make me more right.
And you didn't do it. You didn't keep your agreement, Earl. I brought them here just so I could point the finger. I don't want to just say it to you, so I'll just take you along. Oh, Lordy. Oh, boy. I tell you, I break out into a cold sweat. It's so fun after it departs. I'd be dancing like I did when I was in my 20s, you know what I'm saying?
Then my knees be hurting. You can't show it, you know. Because if I don't look right, I might not get that specialness from that person.
Just give me a second. Okay. The part of you that doesn't love you has one basic doctrine. It's this. Seek, but don't find. Okay, got it?
Yeah.
I want you to look for it, but don't look for that raise, don't find it. Look for that partner, don't find it. Look for that peace, don't find it. Look for it, don't find it. Y'all got the ego's rule?
Yeah.
What? Look, but don't find it. So there are two types of people in the world. Those who are looking and not finding. And those that are looking and finding. They do exist. Yes, Penelope, they do exist. Mm-hmm. There are people who are happy and satisfied and content and thriving and prosperous and healthy and fun.
And sexy.
Juicy. And they stay that way by knowing how to avoid us. That's why we don't see them. They're there. But they do not let you gain admittance into their reality until you will not bring conflict into them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good. I like that.
You are already doing it. You are already avoiding people that you know would bring conflict into your life. And not only are you avoiding them, but you're avoiding them with the right attitude, which is you're perfectly willing to welcome them when they have some sense. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You're basically going, you know, I see right now, you know, there's some people you don't even talk about certain things too. Why? Because you know it's no point right now, right? Well, that's what the course is saying. That's the way high beings do us. That's why they're higher. Okay. Now what they do is they then try to give us the real plan. So we are being communicated with right now by higher intelligence. You're getting the plan to get to the other world. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. It is.
Now I'd rather have a big flat screen TV.
God or flat screen? Look, I get back. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
We think the truth demands a sacrifice. We think that if we obey God, we have to give up something we like to do. Because I learned God demands sacrifice when I was coming up. I learned the wrong lesson. So the idea that I could be happy without making a sacrifice, that I can have love without having to struggle, that just is an alien concept to me, because I learned that if everybody else changed, that was the key to my happiness. That's what I learned. And I worked it. And worked it. And worked it. And worked it. I found out that I even tried to change myself so I could be happy. I was doing the same thing to me. Earl, you need to do this in order to be happy. Then one day I went, wait a minute. Wait the one friggin' minute. I'm sitting up here making up things for me to do. See, laziness will just get you to enlightenment so fast, you know. You mean, if I say I want to be the this or that, then I got to go do this. Why would this be happening now? And I just go ahead and get myself the dough I think I'll get when I get the thing right now. Why don't I just cut out the middleman? Which is all the stuff I'm making up that I have to do in order for me to be happy. All the people that I'm thinking need to change. Why don't I just cut out the middleman? That's what you're telling me now. The funny thing about doing that is as soon as you see it within yourself, it manifests in your physical world. Yeah. It's a trip. As soon as you don't care, it's there. That's my motto. Girl, when you don't care, it'll be there. Do you really want that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you the test. Do you really want that? Now, would you give up your peace if you didn't get it?
Yeah. Well, you don't want it. It's an idol that can cause you pain. Uh-huh.
And you can go ahead and get it. You're innocent because you're always innocent. I love you no matter what. But you're going to give yourself a little lesson in pain. Because it's not going to last. I was like, wow. So if you can ask for it and you're still not going to give your peace up if you don't have it, then you're in the right frame of mind to receive it because it can't take you off your path.
Right.
Say that again.
If you're to the point that you're going to maintain your center whether you receive it or not, then it can't get you off your path. In other words, it's like, let's picture this aisle as being my path. Okay? I'm walking along my path. Here's a relationship, here's a refrigerator, here's a house, here's a car, here's some money, here's a trip to the Eagle, here's a strip club. Alright, you wanted the shoes, but because you were not going to have happiness with yourself, you didn't get the shoes. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting the shoes. The shoes just can't take you off your path. And so if you're on your path and all of a sudden, just because you got a pair of shoes, you turn your back on your path because it's all about shoes now. So now you're on the shoe path. And so now it's about, when can I get some shoes? And if I'm going to get no shoes, I'm not going to see your path is that way. You all over here off your path. You see what I'm saying? Then how can you tell? Because you'll be unhappy and struggling and afraid. It's not complex. You'd be miserable and mad. Off your path. Bomb, 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 off your path. Great. Oh, God, yummy. If you get me out of this, I promise I go to class. You know, we had to make a promise when things going crappy, but soon things get better. It's like, ooh, I gotta go to the park. And that's Elsa. Take your book to the park. Think about the two-way in the park. Just don't get off your path. Don't let the park take you off your path. You there? Be full of appreciation, which is being on the path, see? So then I prayed, right? And I asked Spirit to help me, right? So what happened? Spirit started to realign me. And in the realignment period, of course, if I was over here, it looks like chaos and confusion. Chaos and confusion. I'm disoriented. I'm not even happy. What does it mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? I can't figure it out. What is that going to do? I really want to do the right thing now. I'm confused. I don't know. But see, so the course is trying to, the Holy Spirit tries to help you out while you twirl. Says, well, while you twirl with a good book. Because right now you ask to be healed and everything is rearranging itself so that you can get back on your path and have nothing missing and no longer be sacrificing and be totally safe and totally peaceful, and then all of a sudden you can see something else you want
You just ask for it. If it comes to you, it's great. If it doesn't, you be all right. You just keep moving forward. But then you might get stuck again. You don't go through the thing, right? Then you're going to pray. Then your spirit's going to twirl on you. If you don't have no spirit to pass, you're going to be freaking fool. You're going to be tripping. You're going to be depressed. You're going to think you're going crazy. You're going to think nothing's going right for you because there won't be no stability. It'll be chaotic because you're changing for real. How can you not change and then things stay the same? Yeah, you're going to go through a disorientation. Yeah, you're going to go through some confusion, but it just means you've let go of the old way of thinking, but you haven't completely embraced the new way of thinking, but you will. Have faith now. The fact that you are feeling disoriented means that you are really changing. You're being realigned. Don't judge your realignment. This is a holy realignment. And don't try to hold on to the past either while you're twirling. Because when you twirl, you're tempted to grab hold of something to stop twirling. I'm twirling, I'm trying to change my old relationship twirl, but I'm going to have another relationship while I'm twirling. Baby, you twirl. I'm twirling with somebody. Who's telling me you change? I'd be happy. Thank you for listening this much today. I'm going to stop here. 5 minutes to go. 5 minutes to go. Now, I'm going to make this a part one, part two. And so next Sunday, we're going to talk about God's plan.
Yeah.
Okay? But to go to God's plan, you have to know what your plan is.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part for people.
So?
Yes.
So all week I'll be twirling?
You'll be twirling. So make sure you get wearing pants this week.
You know me too well.
Yeah, I know. This is a world where people believe in guilty twirls. People feel guilty about the body. They feel guilty about anything around the body. They be afraid of anything around the body. Guilty. Guilty minds have such a fearful attitude around the body. You can't even mention the body or anything about the body. They get uncomfortable.
Where's the thing?
It's the first of the month. You know what the hottest part of the whole damn class?
This part.
It's this part right here. It's always the hardest. I always ask God, make me so rich I won't have to ask for anything. Then he said, well, I will as soon as you got attached. So I'm getting less attached because I'm believing more and more that God's taking care of me, period. If you all are channels and there are other channels and I'm a channel for you, that I shouldn't confuse the channel with the source, that I should be extraordinarily grateful to all of you for being willing to be a channel for your prosperity and my prosperity. So thank you. Thank you. I think what I share is valuable.
And Earl, I just talked with her. God.
You said
you're doing the right thing.
If God changed, I'd be happy. How do y'all got that one going? God just don't know how to be God. And God isn't that good of a creator because I'm not happy. But don't forget, this is God's first universe. And anybody that hasn't had a chance to sign the mailing list, I always mean to do it earlier. I don't know, just little tips I like to pass on to people. Okay, so I'm going to finish this up. And we're seeking where your peace and appreciation wasn't located. Because nobody would feel like it was a sacrifice to share with somebody they appreciate. They wouldn't even begin to think about, oh, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I being taken advantage of? If you really appreciate something, you're glad to share. It's only when you don't appreciate something that you judge and whether you should. That's kind of letting you know where you stand on what you receive. So I got to change my mind. Because I want to go to Tahiti. I want to have fun. And I'm not going to be here for long. I want to experience this without guilt and without fear and with joy. I'm tired of wasting all this time on guilt and anger and fear. Are you tired?
I'm saying it's right because I want to teach the other people who are tired, as well as those who are happy and want to maintain it by getting on a maintenance program. Those are two kinds of people I want to teach in my class. Those who are getting it and they want to make sure they keep on getting it, and those who are willing to admit they don't know and they really want to look at it another way. And those who think they know, well, I mean, what's the point for you? Just go do what you think you know. That's your solution.
Hey, I have an announcement. You know. When you get home.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch, two boxes of cards of all kinds.
Part two is next week. And in part two, you're going to have questions like, what would God have me do? Where would God have me go? And the other one, what am I to say? And who am I to say it to? That's coming in part two. All right. Isn't it exciting? Okay, so now I'm going to do a quick repetition for about 3 minutes with y'all. Okay, so we can drill in. I'm going to drill in the grievance. So as soon as you know what it is, you'll catch yourself. And then I'm also share the one that answers it.
And this is Chef Breed. And just know I love you. I appreciate you. I have so much fun teaching and sharing with y'all. Y'all have no idea. It's so cool.
Seeking and not finding, to learn how to see and find. Don't allow yourself to be fooled while you're twirling and you're feeling disorientation and confusion, because it means you really let go of your old way of thinking, but you haven't had time enough to completely embrace your new way of thinking. Know that you're tricking yourself every time you say, as soon as something outside myself changes, then I can finally feel good. It's the plan that will not work. Changing someone else will not work. Changing someone else will not work. It will not work. It will not work. The Course says you will stop doing something quickly when you realize it doesn't work. More so than you will stop doing something because it's bad or good. If you try to stop doing something because it's bad or makes you feel guilty, you won't stop. You already know that. We all do things we feel guilty about over and over. So we know feeling guilty doesn't stop you. Knowing something doesn't work stops you. And you have to continually remind yourself that if this were different, I would be saved doesn't work.
and the people who fool you into thinking that it works by sacrificing and acting the way that you want them to act just to try to please you are not doing you a favor. They're deluding you into thinking that your happiness lies in changing other people. And that takes you deeper into darkness.
Wow.
So even the people who are obeying your script aren't doing you a favor if it's not how they naturally would like to express themselves. And that's the if. If I want to do it, it's great. If I don't want to do it and you want to make me do it, then I'm taking myself deeper into the insane plane of darkness. And I want to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to totally let that go. One more thing. Like when I was saying that about, you know, how I held a grievance for a week.
Uh-huh.
My wife wasn't a victim of me. She created her experience,
mm-hmm.
and I created my experience. She had her stuff just like I had mine. I'm not painting a picture like, well, what's the problem? And she was the angel with the little, you know, wings flying around. And we were both on the same level, learning the same lessons at the same time, doing it right, doing it wrong in our perception sometimes. I'm not different from my partner. Don't let your ego trick you into thinking you're different from your partners or any of your intimate relationships or friends. You're not. That's why they're your intimate relationships and friends. And if it's people that you love and appreciate, that's just an example of how much you love and appreciate yourself. So you should feel good about yourself. If it's people out there that's abusing you and misusing you, you need to ask yourself, where am I not loving myself as much as I used to? And start doing that. And you watch them transform or disappear. They'll be one or the other. Then don't you be so insane that when your misery is trying to leave, you try to hold on to it.
Wow.
Remember to be smart enough not to do that. The universe is working. You ask God to get rid of the problem. They only way out the door. Don't tell them to unpack. Don't call them back. Let it go. Part of moving into the new is you let the old go. If it wants to go, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Don't try to hold on to anyone or anything that does not eagerly, willingly invite you into their experience. Let it go because something better is on the way and you're holding it up by focusing on this past thing. You don't deserve that. I love you. I'll see you next time.
Holy God.
Man, I needed to hear this today.